As a newly 40-year-old man, there are a few things that get the juices flowing for me, like a brand new, unexpected Seth Wickersham, Don Van Natta, Jeremy Fowler long read on anything Patriots related. Because honestly, without Seth, we wouldn't know half the stuff we know about the Patriots. So Seth is on the Harbor One Hotline. Good morning, Seth. How are you?
So wait, when was your birthday?
Oh, it was in February. It was a while ago. But I was just saying.
Oh, okay, okay.
I am newly in my in the 40s that the yes. You know our demise occurs this decade usually. But the manner in which the story unfolded and the relationship obviously that we knew was not great with Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick. Mm-hmm. But to me, I wanted to start off with you, Seth, on this. Mm-hmm. What was the point of that non-press conference goodbye the Wednesday after the season ended, where you had Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick in front of the media, neither taking questions? In hindsight, we knew the Dynasty docuseries was in the can. We knew that the relationship was not functional. Why the attempt to do that at that time by Robert and Bill?
I don't know. I never asked anybody that. My gut would be, they both just thought it was appropriate and, wanted to, end this historic run, with the image of it looking like it was on the high note. Even if, especially Robert Kraft's own words, subsequently have shown, just how strained that relationship was.
Well, Seth, I don't know if you could put like a percentage on it, but some great reporting in this story at ESPN.com. To what extent, after all your reporting, do you think the Kraft conversation with Arthur Blank directly submarined Bill's chances to get that job in Atlanta?
Yeah, there was two of them. And the simple fact is that I don't exactly know. However, a source close to Belichick believes that Kraft played a big part in it. And let's zoom out for a second here. Robert Kraft and Arthur Blank, as owners go, are good friends. And it's been no secret in league circles for a long time, that the Kraft-Belichick relationship functioned on a professional level very, very well. But these were two men who didn't necessarily, they weren't personal friends. I reported in my book that back in 2008, Kraft was at a league meeting. So this is 2008. This is after the Patriots were 30 seconds from a undefeated season and after Spygate. And an executive asked Kraft at the league meeting, what's it going to take for you to fire that a-hole? And Kraft said 8-8. So that was a long time ago. And I think that Kraft and Blank have spoken with some candor about Belichick over the years. Now, mid-January, Belichick is available to be a head coach for the first time in a long time since the 90s. And Kraft and Blank spoke twice about him. And we have reporting that showed that Kraft expressed clearly that Belichick wasn't trustworthy. And now, Stacey James, Kraft spokesman, Patriot spokesman, denies that was part of the conversation. However, he elaborated that, there could have been some candor and that, like, at tough moments, he could see, some feelings being vented between Kraft and Blank. But Arthur Blank had that interview with Bill Belichick on January 25th on his super yacht. He was enamored with Bill Belichick. There was a lot of reports and speculation coming out that he was the front runner. Remember, the joke was that, it wasn't Blank interviewing Belichick. It was vice versa.
Right.
And then he meets with the Falcons staff. And by that point, I think that the odds were long that Belichick was going to coach the Falcons. And as we report, he wasn't in anyone's top three of the executives there. And so something happened. And we did our best to try to illuminate it.
Yeah, Seth Wickersham joins us. Great story, long read ESPN.com, with reporting also from Don Van Natta and Jeremy Fowler on why Bill Belichick was voted off the Falcons Island. On the reporting that interests me is that, I don't know none of us, I guess, do, the percentage of which Jonathan has assumed day-to-day with Robert as the leaders of this organization. But the Commanders component of this really illuminates the Josh Harris relationship with Jonathan Kraft, which has been sort of an open secret, you know, in the people that follow this closely locally, that they met at Harvard Law School, Harvard Business School, and, you know, had a relationship. That part of it, was that a similar situation that just it never really got off the ground, where Bill would have gone there, obviously, given his roots close by from where he grew up by Annapolis? What went on with the Commanders and their interest or not, or the lack thereof, in Bill Belichick?
Yeah, that stunned me, right? Because it seemed like that he was more tailor-made to go to Washington than Atlanta, because he could help reset that franchise, help them on the business initiatives, get a stadium in D.C., provide some structure to a team that, you know, hasn't had structure for a long time. And it just seemed mutually beneficial. We report that Josh Harris told people in mid-December that there was no way that he was hiring Belichick. He too spoke to Kraft, to Robert Kraft, and he was never in play. And I mean, it's kind of astounding that he did talk to Adam Peters, the new GM, who Adam, of course, used to work in New England. And so there was a little bit of a relationship there, not much. Adam was obviously like pretty low in the totem pole when he was in New England, but there was respect there. And I think there was no question that Bill was really interested in that job, but it never materialized in any sort of official way. If you look at Josh Harris's teams, they are GM-centric. The head coach reports to the GM. Now, I don't think that Belichick wanted total control or total authority, but like, I think that he would have wanted to report to an owner. I don't know that for a fact. It's just my guess. But either way, it never got that far. And his job interview with the Falcons, his first official job interview as a head coach since 1998, when he interviewed with Al Davis and the Raiders brass and lost out on that job to John Gruden, it was only with the Falcons, and it wasn't with anybody else. And even though Washington on paper made sense, it showed that there just was no real interest there from Josh Harris. And when he hired Adam Peters to be the GM, that was a big tell that Belichick wasn't going to be in play there.
It's shocking to me, Seth, that other organizations, just to pick the guy's brain, wouldn't bring him in for an interview. That was the component of all this that I was shocked, because what do you have to lose? You're talking to a guy who has an encyclopedic knowledge of everything that happened in the NFL the last 40 years and knows a thing or two about, you know, how the league works, even if you don't hire him.
There's no doubt. And Belichick is kind of a known asset, right? I mean, he's a known quantity. We know who he is at this point. He's been in the public eye for a very, very long time. And really, this story is about ownership and what they value and what matters to them at this moment in time and what doesn't, at least among the teams that had openings. And I think that the feedback from teams that considered him, even if it was just a conversation, centered around a couple things: the damaged relationship with Kraft, the fact that he is in his early 70s, and there's a perception that he's only going to coach until he passes Don Shula. And, you know, then what? Then you're starting over in two more years. And finally, that even though he didn't say he wanted total control, he was very clear that he just wants to coach. He doesn't need to do everything. I think there's a sense that he is so intimidating, so meticulous, his structures and philosophies are so well thought out, that if you bring him in, you kind of just have to give him the keys, whether he asks for them or not, and out of respect, and you know what you're buying. And right now, that among the teams that had, you know, openings this past season, you know, that wasn't desired. And it really is baffling. And I think that that's, you know, that's the main reason why we wanted to look into it. It's just insane that a guy with his resume, and stature isn't coaching when he wants to coach.
Seth, is there any reporting on if Tom Brady was reached out to by these organizations, if to get his thoughts, even in a sort of unofficial, you know, conversation?
I have no insight into that. Obviously, you know, Adam Schefter and I reported a year ago that Brady was going to, you know, trying to buy an ownership stake in the Las Vegas Raiders. We had some reporting that, you know, Mark Davis considered reaching out to Belichick. Obviously, there's a lot of great history there with his dad and Belichick. But remember, he had just sort of ushered out a Patriots way light regime right. in less than 2 years. And, you know, I don't think that hiring Bill was something that he was seriously going to do.
ESPN's Seth Wickersham, our guest here on WEEI with Ken and Curtis. What did Bill do to Robert Kraft behind the scenes, Seth? What happened there that the trust would have eroded to this point where he's calling other owners to warn them?
It's a great question. From Belichick's point of view, I mean, sources have told us that he's not exactly sure why all this is coming out, why Kraft said the things that he said in the dynasty, pointing fingers at him so much. And I think it's interesting how narratives work. Like, you have the past 2 years of Patriots football where they've looked pretty bad offensively. And there was a narrative that Belichick's kind of lost his fastball, that, you know, it was all Brady, that, you know, the Patriot way, as it turns out, is not divisible. And then the dynasty comes out, in which Kraft, you know, looks into the camera and confirms a bunch of reporting that me and others had sent out over the years that he had denied, showing just how bad those relationships were. In fact, they were worse than any of us knew. And, you know, how personally Kraft took some of those things, such as blaming the Eagles Super Bowl loss square on Belichick's shoulders.
Unbelievable.
And then, you know, he's out of a job. And then he really doesn't get much of a look outside of the Falcons to be a head coach. And now all of a sudden, it's like all this stuff has kind of shifted the narrative a little bit, where like people are remembering that this guy has authored some of the most brilliant game plans in NFL history, not just in big games, but in, you know, routine AFC East games. And I think that I think there's a new appreciation for Bill that's coming out from his former players, from his friends around the league, from other coaches, in light of everything that's happened the past 2 years. Now, whether that means he's going to get a head coaching job next year remains to be seen.
Yeah, I mean, Seth, just speaking locally, I know you're nearby Bristol at times, so you probably get the vibes of the fans here occasionally. However, I can tell you the groundswell of support for Belichick and the precipitous fall from grace for Robert Kraft has been unbelievable. And it, for me, I look at like the way Robert Kraft would have you understand his stewardship of the Patriots is that he was powerless in his own organization, but it appears he's tried to exert the power that he has outside of it as a way to punish Bill for not allowing him in the room. That sort of would be my read of how we got here.
Well, I think that he's proven to be a fantastic owner, and it's his team, and he has a right to run it however he wants. And he looked into the camera and made fans aware of decisions that he decided to make as an owner that, you know, were football matters. We're not trading Tom Brady, you know, what all these things that, you know, that might be. And he's allowed to do that. And these were extreme circumstances that everyone was dealing with. I mean, you're talking about an unparalleled dynasty, not only in its success, but its longevity. And, you know, it's over now. And I think that Kraft has been trying to, for years, I think, you know, through some of his friends and associates, you know, make clear that he was not, that he deserved some credit for this, that he actually helped things a lot more than people would realize. And it's something that he wanted fans to know. He wanted fans to know his involvement. And like, I don't think that anything he did, from my point of view, was inappropriate or atypical for how a lot of owners behave. But I think that it's something that he's wanted to make fans clear of, is that, you know, he didn't just sit by idly. Like, he had a big part in this. And I think he did. And the problem is that it's come at the expense of Belichick the last couple months. And now I think that, again, you're seeing sort of like that blowback where you know, a lot of Patriots players are really upset with the way the dynasty was portrayed. And, you know, the fact that Belichick was unlike any other figure, not only in, you know, American sports, but kind of in American culture, certainly as a head coach, but also as a figure. And, you know, they're not going to let that get taken away and get eclipsed by, you know, narratives that the dynasty might have been more Brady and Kraft than Belichick.
Get you out on this very quickly. Three quick answers, mm-hmm. just your guess. Will mm-hmm. Bill Belichick be at Brady Day? Will Bill Belichick coach again in the NFL? And any shot to the Tom Brady coming back rumors that wow. he started?
Triple barrel.
Triple barrel.
Okay. the first one was the Brady Day in June.
Yes. Will Belichick be there, do you think?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
Will he coach again? That one's the hardest one out of all of these. I don't think so. Wow. But I'm willing to – I'll probably eat that. You know, this is like – you know, I don't know what openings are going to be open next year, so I don't know what owners are going to make decisions. But I just think that as much as people are remembering how brilliant this coach has been over the years, I think it might be – too hard to reboot a career when he's going to be 73 when the 2025 season starts. And then the third one, will Brady play again?
Yes.
I'm going to say no unless Brock Purdy gets hurt.
Ooh.
I like
spicy.
It. All right, Seth, thanks so much for the time on short notice this morning. Greatly appreciate it.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you.
That's ESPN Seth Wickersham.